A few days ago, I was putting up our Christmas cards at home, and I noticed that perhaps a third, or maybe even more than a third, of the cards that we've received have a snowy scene on them. Maybe your Christmas cards are the same. Perhaps you also have robins on snow-covered branches, or snowy street scenes, snow-capped churches with choristers, and nativity scenes with a light flutter of snow in the starlit sky. From the 16th century to the mid-19th century, it was fairly common to have snow at Christmas because of what's described as a little ice age, which meant that average temperatures were much lower. But these days, white Christmases are fairly unusual, although last week the Ladbrokes did slash the odds from 9-2 for a white Christmas to 4-1. But I think that has more to do with making money and encouraging you to place a bet than it does with meteorology. Although I did walk down here tonight and thought, oh, it is quite icy. It's much colder than I thought it was going to be because it's been a clear day. So snow is one of the images that we associate with Christmas. Last week, as I was rereading that gospel opening from John's gospel, I found myself thinking of snow. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Word, with a capital W, that John is talking about is Jesus. And John describes Jesus as the creator, the author, the originator of life. All things were made through him. There are all sorts of theories about how and why the universe came into being. Some are more plausible than others. But whatever you choose to think or believe, one thing that we can all agree on is that our world, this creation, is amazing. Take snowflakes, for example. It's common knowledge that no two snowflakes are the same. Snowflakes are made up of snow crystals, and they begin with the formation of a small hexagonal plate, and then branches sprout from the six corners when the crystals grow larger. And as the crystal tumbles through the clouds, the crystal experiences ever-changing temperatures and humidities, and each change makes the arms grow a little bit differently. So the exact shape of the final snow crystal is determined by the precise path it took through the clouds. And since no two snow crystals take the exact same path through the clouds, then no two look exactly alike. At least that's what I read on the internet. And it seemed to be a vaguely reliable site. And unlike Donald Trump, I do believe what scientists say. So there you go. But I find it amazing that something as tiny and as insignificant, really, as an ice crystal can be so unique and so beautiful. If that is true of ice crystals, then it must be equally true of us. As humans, we have a great deal in common, but there are also things that make each one of us distinct. Our DNA, our fingerprints, our voices, our upbringing, our experiences, our idiosyncrasies. You could say that like the ice crystals, we're each shaped by the journey that we take through life. The Bible tells us that as humans, we are made in the image of God. Each of us reflect something of the nature and character of God. And in this passage from John, we're described as children of God. In the Psalms, we're told that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in the Gospels, we're told that the very hairs on our head are numbered. If Jesus is the creator, then we are his beloved creation. We are unique and precious to God. That's at the heart of the Christmas story. That's why Jesus comes, because we are matchless. And we are irreplaceable. Snowflakes are amazing. But you may have noticed that over the last couple of years, the word snowflake has become a term of abuse. Have you picked that one up? It's largely directed at millennials, those born in the 1980s and 1990s. And looking around, we have a few millennials in this evening. So not only are you accused of spending all your money on avocados instead of mortgages, you're also reproached for being less resilient, more sensitive, and overly emotional. That's what that term snowflake suggests. I wonder what you think of the term snowflake and all that it implies. John describes Jesus as the creator. But at Christmas, we also remember Jesus coming among us as a baby. God took on flesh and entered our world in the most fragile human form. People criticize millennials for being too vulnerable, too fragile. But isn't it interesting that God embraced both of those things? In my study at home, I have lots of paper snowflakes stuck to my window. If you walk past the vicarage on the way home, you'll see them there. I made them with my family, maybe as much as 7 years ago when my children were a lot younger. And every year I get them out and I put them up at Christmas. And they're a lovely reminder of sort of some really rather naff ones. I'm afraid I don't put the really juvenile ones up. The more sophisticated ones largely make it. But it sort of reminds me of when they were little. And if you've ever made a paper snowflake, then you'll know you cut a circle out of paper, you fold it in half, fold it again and again, and then you cut sections out of the paper. And when you unfold it, you get the pattern. People talk about millennials being snowflakes, but I think we are all fragile at different times and in different ways. But like the paper snowflake, we all know how it feels to be cut up. I wonder, as you think back over this year, what are the things that have cut you up? What are the things that have made you feel fragile? Paper snowflakes are both beautiful and fragile, all at the same time. And for me, life feels a lot like that as well. Life is beautiful and fragile, precious and vulnerable. And as humans, we are beautiful and fragile. We are precious and we're vulnerable. And what I love about the story of Christmas is that Jesus, the Creator, comes to share our life. He knows all of our joys and sorrows, all of our triumphs and failures, all of our hopes and regrets. John tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God isn't the kind of God who creates the world and then stands back and watches it happen from a distance. He joins in, which means he allows himself to be cut up. And yet somehow he transforms those cuts into something of beauty, just like the paper snowflake. You cut all of those pieces out, and yet it becomes something of beauty. John says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. So if you feel cut up by this year, or cut up by life, or cut up by what is happening in our world, then invite the Creator to transform those cuts into something of beauty. And this Christmas, when you see a snowy scene, probably on TV, on the Call the Midwife Christmas special tomorrow night, think of the snowflake. Remember, Christ created you. You are beautiful. You are precious. You are unique. And he understands that you're also fragile, and that I am also fragile, which is why he was too. Amen.